Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook or like me on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. If you just listened to a clip from Rain Dance by Valerie June, an artist that Greg has interviewed, and I believe Gregory is on the line right now, I'm going to pick up the call here. Gregory, is that you? Can you hear me? Let's see. Well, that was Valerie June. Gregory has spoken to various artists, Somi, Susanna Baca, Pierce Pacini, all different artists. Gregory, can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Sometimes technology is not our friend. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you here. A Thousand Stories is a continuously moving documentary through which writer Gregory Kutruvi shares his conversations with artists. Celebrating its four-year anniversary this month, A Thousand Stories features artists who, despite their brilliance, are often overlooked. A strong advocate of the arts as a source of inspiration, he's a native New Yorker. He shares conversations with artists of many disciplines, including R&B duo Les Nubians, painter Martin Whitfooth, Latin Grammy Award-winning vocalist Susanna Baca, and so on and so forth. Good morning, Gregory. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So it's funny, actually. I knew about you before you actually had emailed me, and I looked at your website a while back. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I really like what this guy's doing. So I'm actually so happy that we're actually having an interview now, because I had known about you a while back. I never really reached out, but I was just like, oh, okay, I like that. I like, you know, the stuff he's doing, because I, too, like highlighting artists that maybe many people aren't aware of. Talk to me a little bit about Valerie June. How did you find her and connect with her?
Oh, Valerie June. Good question.
That's a long way.
It's always a long story. I came across her music actually through Somi, who was another artist that I interviewed last year. And sometime last year, Somi was playing at a venue here in New York City called The Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And she was playing along with a few other musicians. So I received an email about it and just decided to look up some of the other musicians that would be performing, and Valerie June was one of those musicians. So just looked into her music a bit, went to YouTube and found some live performances that really, really impressed me. And that very same day was the night that she would be there performing. So so I went down and I watched, and that was it.
So what do you think you like most? Do you like interviewing musicians? Do you like interviewing visual artists? Do you like which medium do you think you like the best in learning about?
Oh, boy. I think any medium, you know, there's some sort of attraction. I would say music would be my favorite. Yeah, I think so. Not that I don't like other mediums, of course. But music has always been a pretty big part of my life. I think it's the combination of words and the power that words can have, along with the power that music can have. So when you put those two together, it can be a pretty interesting thing.
What do you think your favorite song is right now that's moving you, shaking you?
Favorite song right now? A couple of weeks ago, I bought, there's a four CD set from Miles Davis in 1970. He came out with the Bitches Brew session.
Oh, yeah.
And until recently, I thought only one, it was only one album, one CD, but I discovered that there was a lot more to the sessions, and at some point, they released a lot more of the music from those sessions. So,
right.
So I recently bought the 4-CD set, and I've been listening to it pretty continually for the past couple of weeks. It's a lot to get through.
Yeah, it's double. I think we have a caller. Let me see. 678, area code, you have a question? Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for calling in.
Great. I'm calling from United States, Atlanta. My name is Jamila.
Okay.
I was just reading Ms. Chico Negro's book. On Black.
Okay, yeah?
Yeah, I just want to tell her it was a wonderful book. I haven't finished it yet, but it's so nice. And I just wanted to comment her and tell her to keep writing. It's really, really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, thank you for listening in. You can listen to the archive of the interview in a couple of minutes, about 10, 15 minutes. You can listen to the interview. She's already gone off the show, but I'll be giving away one of her books. So become a fan on Facebook of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Okay.
That was so
and,
okay.
Yeah. That's okay, but thank you for calling in, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye. Gregory, I want to play some of Somi, since we were talking about her and she was your connect to Valerie June, okay?
Right.
Hot Blue from singer Somi. She's actually an African here in the United States doing jazz. She was born in Chicago, Illinois, but they moved to Zambia when her father was working for the World Health Organization. Talk to me about how you choose your artists. You have a lot of such variety, Latin artists, African artists, American artists, country. How do you decide, like, okay, this is the person I
want to talk to? Oh, I'm really glad you made that point about the diversity. You know, that's something that I try to convey through the project is that, and it's something I've been trying to tell as many people as possible, is that art does not discriminate. You could go to any city in any country in the world, and someone will be there expressing themselves in a creative way, and it's one of the most amazing things to me. So that's really one of the important things about this project, is not only exposing these artists to a larger number of people, but just making the point that there's a lot out there. And if you don't do a little bit of searching, you know, if you don't look a little bit, you could miss a lot of really brilliant stuff. So how do I come across these artists? It's really a lot of different ways, and how do I choose them? It could be listening to the radio and just coming across a song that really really stirs me somehow.
Yeah.
It could also be, for example, just word of mouth, someone telling me about a particular painter or a poet or whoever. It could be going to an art gallery that has a group show, and maybe I'm going there for the specific purpose of seeing one particular artist's work, but then coming across another artist's work. It happens in a lot of different ways. You sort of have to keep your eyes open and really see what's out there.
Let me ask you about some of the visual artists. I put some of the pictures up. I put up Tran Nguyen's photo, Yamamoto's photo on the site, and also Martin Witsu's. I like the one Martin Witsu's with the bird in the middle of the water there, that photo.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, what medium is that? Is it oil, watercolors? How did he do that one? Do you remember?
He works primarily in oils.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of violent. The bird is being stuck. Like, I mean, are we going to have chicken tonight? Or, you know, I don't know. What's going on? And then there's an egg there. You know, there's so much in it. There's the egg, the nest, there's death. There's a storm sort of behind it. You know, I mean, as a parent, if I look at it from that angle, sometimes there's a death of your hopes and dreams when you're a parent. There's sacrifice that you make for the egg, so to speak, you know. Maybe I'm reading too much, but I think art is, you know, that's the power of art. You can come up with so many viewpoints. Let's talk about Yamamoto's photo. There's another one there with water and fishes and a girl in the water, and the girl is a fish. Or the person's a fish.
Okay.
Do you remember that one? It's like blue and black and.
I think I know the one you're referring to. Yes, yes, that's.
And
that's
it looks like lotus flowers or water lilies in there.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about. That particular character is kind of a repeated character in some of his work.
Mm-hmm. The fish head.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's an interesting story. He shared very politely shared with me the story of sort of the origins of that character, where it came from, and why he continues to paint it. Interesting story, kind of sad, but it has to do with a pet fish that he had, and due to neglect, the fish passed away.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh my God,
yeah.
I used to have a stuffed rabbit. When I was a kid, I had this stuffed rabbit. I don't know where rabbit is now. But when I was dating this guy, I saw this rabbit that was on sale by the March of Dimes. It was like $5. And I was like,
okay,
honey, can you please buy me this rabbit? And he's looking at me like, you're almost 40 years old. What the heck are you talking about? And I was like, I really just want the rabbit. I can't explain to you the feeling. I feel like, you know, I found rabbit. It was lost. So,
yeah.
He lost the fish.
Yeah. Oh, and that's, you know, that's the amazing thing about art. Like you said, it is subjective, and sometimes one person can get a particular impression of a painting that is completely different from another person. And, you know, without those kind of stories, without the background of why the artist may have done it, you would never know. But then you come across a story like that, and you have the artist explain what they're doing. Like you had mentioned the Martin Witsu's painting, and how a lot of his work is is kind of graphic, but there are reasons for it, and it feels a certain way for a reason. So it's always interesting to get the stories behind why some of these paintings or poems or songs came into existence.
Yeah, I'm gonna play some Pierre Spathini.
Okay.
Time of Night. Okay. All right. Let's play this.
Draw the cup of blood with a sword of love, 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 love.
That's a very beautiful, haunting, you know, song. A lot of the songs you sent me, Gregory, are love songs. Are you a romantic at heart?
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, did you not see? There was, I said, okay, this is love. Okay, love again. What the heck is going on?
Really? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's subjective. But okay, let's ask. Are you a romantic? Or are you like, no, I'm not into chocolate and flowers or something?
Oh, well, I might leave some other people to answer that question for me.
Okay.
But I didn't really think too much about the songs that I chose to send you on that CD. I really didn't realize. So there might be something to it.
I don't know. Maybe subconsciously, you know? Unless you kind of flirt with me or something, Perfect. I mean, I don't know. But I don't know. But no, there's some beautiful. I can even play, you know, you send me so many different ones. I would encourage people to go to your website, 1000 Stories, and check out all the different interviews that you've done with the variety of artists. Do you play any instruments? Are you a painter? Are you artistic in any way? Do you have an artistic bone?
I grew up in a house with some instruments. The first house in which I lived for quite a few years, we had an upright piano, and my grandfather, along with my father, I have to give my grandfather a lot of credit for introducing me to a lot of the art. He played the violin, he played the trumpet, he played the trombone. There was always music playing in the house. And as for me, I did play the guitar for quite a while. I still have an old nylon string acoustic guitar in my place that I occasionally pick up the speaker with. I guess at some point along the line, I decided that I was maybe a bit better at listening to music than I was at playing it. But, like we were saying before, music has always been a really big influence in my life. And also, getting back to the question that you asked, whether I played any instruments or whether I painted or anything like that. And I was mentioning my grandfather, but my father as well. When I was a child, my father lived in Manhattan, and he would take us to all of the museums, all of the parks. We would watch street performers on the weekends. It was a whole experience of being in a big city and seeing and being exposed to all of that kind of thing. That really instilled in me in a very early age the desire to see what's out there.
Curiosity.
Right, and not just to, listen to the same radio station all the time, for example. And from a very early age, I remember him, giving me books to read that were, in addition to whatever I was reading in school. And I think he saw the positive response I had to all of that extra creative stimulus. So,
I think that's why I'm drawn to you, because we're similar in that. My dad managed a jazz club called the Foxhole here on the University of Penn's campus. And so I grew up listening to jazz. My cousin is Christian McBride, a jazz bassist. His uncle, my uncle, his father, was also a bassist. I used to play the flute. And just growing, I went to an art school. Growing up around art really, I think, I would say saved my life in terms of keeping me out of trouble, being around the arts to some degree. Not that, people think about artists and musicians in particular, like, oh, they're in the back rooms, smoking, a blunt and, drinking and touring and all this stuff. I mean, yes, there are artists like that and they go too far with it. But there are a lot of artists who are very intellectual about their art.
Of course.
They read, they study different mediums and do different things that add to whether they're a musician or a singer or a painter or a poet. And that's what makes them great, What was your favorite interview? That you had so far, do you think?
Oh, favorite interview. I knew this question was coming.
I mean, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but let's just, the top three. How about the top three that you interviewed? Who were your top three, maybe?
Okay, that's very fair. I appreciate that. Because they're all really great, of course, in one way or another. There's a painter from Los Angeles I interviewed a couple of years ago named Liz Lopez. I had a really fun time interviewing her. Les Nubians was great. I know you love Les Nubians because you had them on your program as well recently. That was a lot of fun because they're really brilliant. And when I interviewed them, they had recently come out with a book. They published a book. They took a pretty big leap and, temporarily went away from their standard CDs and their music, and they published a book of spoken word poetry. So that was really fun talking about that. And the third one, probably my most favorite, I would say Susanna Baca.
See?
Yeah.
I saw her live at the World Cafe, and she is just her voice goes through my spine. As a matter of fact, you know, let me play a clip for the audience so they can hear. And she just is a very light, light spirit. She was floating on the stage a little, you know, but grounded. It's kind of opposite. She's very light, floating, but then this strong foundation. So let me play. This is De Los Amor song, Susanna Baca.
No creo en los metales de los amores, no entiendo y del dolor fui el primero pescador, no soy bella como tú.
So, yeah, that's Susanna Baca de Los Amores. She's an Afro-Peruvian singer. She's also political in Peru, too, and trying to save the history of Afro-Peruvians. What is something interesting you found about her in your interview, Gregory?
Well, first things first, I just have to say I'm not surprised at all at the reaction you had when I mentioned her name, because I think more than any other artist that I've interviewed or any other artist that I've ever shared with anyone, Susanna Baca, without fail, people have the same reaction you did. It's absolutely amazing. Her voice is just incredible. So your question, one of the interesting things that I found in her interview was just the simple fact that in speaking to her, you wouldn't necessarily realize how powerful her voice can be. And all of the different things it can be. She's kind of petite, very soft spoken, very gentle.
Yeah, she's so. I felt like a giant. I'm like 5'9". I think she's like, I don't know, 5 feet tall. I don't know. I felt like a giant sitting next to her. You know?
Yeah, she was just. She was incredibly gracious. One of the reasons why it was the favorite interview I did is that it was very early on in this project's history, and I had only interviewed a few people, and her compatriot, one of her friends, a fellow artist from Peru, lives in New York City, and I had interviewed her as well. She's a multidisciplinary artist named Grimenesa Amoros, and Susanna and Grimenesa were going to collaborate on a project. So Susanna was going to be in New York for a short period of time, and the whole thing just happened very quickly. Grimenesa just called me one day and said, hey, Susanna's going to be in New York, if you'd like to interview her, you know, meet me here tomorrow, and she'll be there. And it was just an incredible experience, and she was very gracious with her time. And I didn't know how long and for how long she had been studying the history of Peru and Afro-Peruvian culture and the traditional instruments and things like that. But she's been doing it since the 70s.
Doesn't she have a museum or something? A museum, I think, or some kind of archives she was working on,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one of the things that I was very impressed with was how she's bringing a lot of this traditional music and traditional rhythms and traditional instruments back. And some of the instruments you'll see, one of my favorite instruments of all time since I came across this kind of music about 10 years ago, is called the cajon. And it looks like a little wooden box because that's basically what it is. And the musician sits on top of it. And by hitting the front of it with your palms or the top of it, you get a different percussive sound. And it's just, it's the most amazing, deep, and rich percussive sound I've ever heard, and it's just basically a little wooden box with a hole, the sound hole cut in the back. So, and it's a very traditional instrument, and the origins come from, you know, coastal countries like Peru, where they would have boxes full of fish from the ports, and they would just dump out the fish and use the box as percussion. It's, you know, a lot of instruments have stories like that, and that's one of the things that she was telling me about during the interview that really interested me, was just all of the history that she was going back to and bringing back to the current time.
Well, we only have 2 minutes left. I want to mention your website again, 1000stories.com. Please check out Gregory's website and all the wonderful interviews he's done. And, you know, send them an email. You have the form there. You can comment and ask questions and so on and so forth. 2 minutes left. Artist that you want to interview now. Who do you want to interview now that you have it?
First one that comes to mind is a writer who lives in Texas named Sandra Cisneros. She wrote one of her most famous collections is called The House on Mango Street.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I have that book, yes.
Yeah, yes. She's amazing. I'd love to.
Somebody who's dead, there's a dead, who would just, somebody that has to pass, if you could speak to them, who would that be?
I would choose Bill Evans, who is a jazz pianist and composer in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. He was very prevalent. And he passed away in 1980, but his music, he was a very large influence on Miles Davis. And his music, his original compositions to me, I know we have a short amount of time, but I think most of us have a musician or two or a type of music that really affects and touches us more than anything else. And his original compositions to me, that's what they do to me. So I would have loved to meet him and talk to him.
Well, thank you for talking to me this morning, Gregory, and I wish you much success with the project. Please stay in touch. Perhaps we can do a duet with an artist on the show. That would be great. So please stay in touch. Check out Gregory's website at 1000stories.com. Thank you, Gregory, for coming on the show today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much, Joy.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon then.
Absolutely.
Okay, you have a wonderful Saturday, and everybody, thank you for listening to the show. I want to head off the show since we've been talking about one of the songs Gregory sent me, one of their songs to play here. So I'm going to leave with them. You can follow me on twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Morning with Joy Keys. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Dans cette petite chambre du